read together this morning in Luke's Gospel. We're going to resume our studies in Luke's Gospel. We're coming back in. I can't remember exactly when we left off, but we're jumping back in at Luke chapter 15. And that's page 874 in the Church Bible. We're going to read the whole of the chapter. I had planned to kind of look at Luke 15 in a slightly different way. Circumstances have somewhat dictated otherwise. So what we're going to do, or plan to do this morning, is to look at the chapter as a whole. And so we're going to read the whole of Luke 15. So let's hear and read together in God's Word. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I'd lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me a share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he'd spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I've served you, never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, You killed the fattened calf for him? And he said to him, Son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Amen. And may God bless to us this reading from his word this morning. Well, we turn this morning in our Bibles to Luke 15. That famous passage. I wonder if you've heard the technique is known as stereoscopic filmmaking. It was developed originally, I think, in the late 19th century, but did not really have much of an impact upon commercial filmmaking, I think, until the early 1950s. In recent times, technological advance has now made this type of film production much more affordable and popular. And the idea behind the technique is to give an added dimension and depth to the images that are created on the screen. We normally or commonly refer to such films as being produced in 3D. The reference there to that illusion of depth perception that is created and the addition of a third dimension. This morning, for a moment or two, we're turning to one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, and arguably, I think, the most well-known chapter of Luke's Gospel. The chapter contains three well-known stories of Jesus: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And what I want to do this morning, as I said already, is to kind of take an overview of Luke 15. In other words, rather than look at each of the parables individually, I want to look at them as a whole. In fact, there are a number of commentators and writers who believe that this is precisely the way these stories should be understood. Not so much individually, but collectively. And in fact, if you look at how the stories are introduced in verse 3, Luke tell us? So he told them, you notice that, this parable. Interesting. He told them these parables. He told them this parable. It's a single parable, but with three dimensions to it. So what I want to suggest is that these three stories that Jesus tells in the chapter help to give us a kind of 3D picture of his ministry and indeed of the gospel itself. Here is the gospel of Jesus Christ laid out before us, not in theological propositions or in doctrinal terms, but rather in three portraits or pictures that when taken together create for us a textured and multidimensional picture of the gospel itself. And the context here, or the occasion for the telling of these stories and this parable of Jesus, is given to us in the opening two verses. We read there, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. In his ministry, and as we've gone through Luke's gospel, we have seen the way that Jesus attracted around himself tax collectors and sinners. Now, this is the great accusation that was levelled against him by the religious authorities. The fact that he received or welcomed sinners and ate with them. This is what annoyed them. This is what upset them. This is what enraged them. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus, to their mind, associated with the wrong kind of people. The scribes and the Pharisees prided themselves in the company they did not keep, in the people they would not touch, and with the crowd they would not mix with. And so in Jesus' ministry, in his actions, he was, in a sense, throwing out these revered traditions of the Pharisees. Here is Jesus challenging the practice of the scribes, confronting head on the attitudes of the religious leaders of his day. Here is Jesus doing what they should have been doing and were not, receiving and welcoming sinners. And so in this parable and in these three stories, Jesus is, in a sense, defending and explaining the nature of his own ministry. This is what Jesus Christ is about: welcoming sinners. And here is Jesus telling people and explaining to them just why he does that, just why he eats with the tax collectors and sinners. And that's really the first thing I want you to notice here, is that we have a kind of 3D picture of what it means to be a sinner. What it means to be a sinner. And in terms of the parable here, to be a sinner means that you are lost. There's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and there's a lost son. Human beings are lost. And that is, I think, what is being emphasized here. The sheep wanders off and is lost. The silver coin is dropped and is lost. A son rebels and goes into the far country and is lost to his father. And it's interesting that the proportion of the lost element differs really as the parable progresses. One sheep from 100, and then one coin from 10, and then one son from 2. There's a growing intensity through the chapter that highlights the preciousness of what was lost. So what does it mean to be lost? How does Jesus depict the reality of what it means to be a sinner? Well, I think each of the stories kind of gives a slightly different insight or dimension. And if we take the first story of the lost sheep, what do we discover there? The scenario depicted is of a sheep that wanders off and is lost. The sheep is lost to the shepherd, not by the shepherd, but is lost to the shepherd. And like much of Jesus' teaching and his stories, the origin of the language and the terminology that he uses are, of course, rooted in the Old Testament, which, of course, was Jesus' Bible. That theme of people being lost like sheep, well, we read at the beginning of the service from Ezekiel 34. God saying he will be the shepherd of his sheep. He will search for the lost and bring back the strays. And we find that also in places like Jeremiah 50. My people have been lost sheep, says God. And it's that kind of word and that kind of language, that kind of teaching, that kind of prophetic word that stands behind the ministry and mission of Jesus. Jesus understood himself to be the one who was out seeking the lost sheep. Remember in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 9, 36, we're told, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion upon them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Isaiah says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And so that's actually at the essence of the human condition, isn't it? That we've turned away from God, from the one true shepherd. It's the nature of sin. Escaping, running from God, wandering away from him. It's what often sheep do. They live by their instinct. They are driven by their natural impulses. it goes, the sheep goes where it thinks the grass is greener. Lives for the moment. And that's how most people live today, isn't it? For the moment. We are like sheep that have gone astray. So many drift through life simply following our own desires and impulses and instincts, never thinking about where our lives are going to end up. And yet to be lost means more than just wandering away from God. And I suspect that's why the second story is told, and the woman losing one of her 10 silver coins. I suppose it may be possible, wouldn't it, for a sheep to wander back into the fold. But let's be honest, there's no possibility of that happening with a coin. You know, a piece of silver is incapable of finding its way back into the woman's purse or necklace. And we all know what it is, don't we, to lose something in the house. We've all done it. You know, maybe a coin, a ring, a piece of jewelry, passport, a letter, whatever it is, gets lost. What do? We must find it. It's important. And so what do? We push back the furniture and we remove all the cushions and we search down and we get hands in everywhere and we get down on our hands and knees and we start to look under. We lift up all the toys and we lift up the books and we try and find it. Push everything back. It's a complete, you know, rammy, really. And we do that because we know that this item is not going to come back to us on its own. It will not find itself. It will lie there in that same place until we find it. And this is what it means to be lost. As human beings, we cannot find ourselves. We're like the piece of silver, the silver coin, incapable of getting back to God on our own steam. We need to be found. That brings us to the third story of the son. So well known. Demands his inheritance from his father. Goes off to the far country. Goes his own way. And yet soon discovers that he is lost. His choices lead him away from his father. Indeed, they lead him down into a difficult place. And I think again in the actions of that younger son, Jesus paints a picture of how many people find themselves estranged from God. It's a dramatic sketch, isn't it, of human sinfulness. That desire to run away from God, to get control of our own life, to have the reins in our own hands, to do our own thing, seeking independence of our Creator, saying to the God who made us and to whom we owe our lives, I wish you were dead, get out of my life, I want to do things my way. And that's what this younger son does. He leaves home and he seeks to find a new life. New opportunities, new excitement, new pleasure. But all he discovers ultimately is rejection and disillusionment. He sought freedom and independence. He wanted to be free to do his own thing, free to live his own life, free to be his own boss. But as he sought that freedom, he certainly didn't find it. All he found was the stench, and the squalor, and the hunger of a pigsty. He found himself lost in a far country. Now it's interesting that it's in the pigsty, isn't it, that the young man takes a long, hard look at his life and he faces up to some pretty unpalatable truths. He decides to take a look in the mirror. He admits that his life is a mess. He admits that he's lost, to his father's love, that he's lost to his real home, that he's lost in his own guilt and shame. He knows he's hurt his father. He knows he is, to some degree, wasted his inheritance and to some degree wasted his life. He's blown it. He deserves nothing. How important it is, friends, that we face up to that ourselves. It's by God's grace that we come to our senses and come to ourselves. And that's why there's hope for lost sinners. God is able to bring us to ourselves in order that he might bring us to himself. And that is the truth about us here. We are the lost sheep. We are the lost coin. We are the lost son. We are all lost sinners. Secondly here, I think there's a 3D picture, not just of what it means to be a sinner. I think there's also a kind of 3D picture of the man who welcomes sinners. This man receives sinners. And the parable is at its heart, at its center, about this man. This man who was, as Luke tells us, the son of Mary. This man who was in the beginning with God. This man who emptied himself and became a servant. This man who was clothed in our human flesh and nature. This man who came into the world to deal with our sin. This man who spoke, they said, like no other. This one who spoke with authority and not like the teachers of the law. This man who lived like no other man. This man who receives sinners. This man is our gospel. And this man is the solution to our lostness as human beings. We need this man like we need no other. Like the sheep who needs the shepherd. Like the coin that needs the woman. Like the son who needs the father's kiss and embrace of love and forgiveness. Because all of this is found where? In this man who welcomes sinners. And what did this man do? He went after that which was lost. The shepherd went after the one that was lost. It was precious to him. He goes after the one almost as if there were no others. Isn't that true? For those of us who are Christians, we are found individually by the great shepherd. It's not about how we found him. It's all about how he found us. He pursued us. He sought us out. He reached out to us that we might belong to him. Oh, he uses all sorts of different means. It might be a friend. It might be a testimony. It might be a sermon. It might be a book. But he sought us. He reached out to us. The sheep meets the shepherd in the place where it is lost. Jesus meets us in our lostness. And when we meet the shepherd, where he finds us, he brings us home. And I think it's the same here with a woman, isn't it? She looks for the piece of silver, for that silver coin. She is diligent. She searches. She turns the house upside down until when? Till she finds it. She doesn't stop until it's found. And I think it's the same with the third story, although the emphasis is different. Because the son has to come to his senses. He has to come to that place of repentance. He has to face up to what he's done. And there is no conversion without that. That's what repentance is, in a sense. It is coming to our senses. It's like becoming sane. Seeing things clearly. The language of repentance is, how could I have been so blind? How could I have been so ungrateful? How could I have been so stupid? How could I have been so wrong? As David in Psalm 51 crying out, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And for the young son here, it is when he stops trying to live independently and starts to express his need and dependence upon his father. It says there he got up and went to his father. For this man, to receive sinners means, yes, that Jesus, like the shepherd, goes out to find them. Just a few chapters further on, we read of Zacchaeus. Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Yes, like the shepherd, Jesus goes out to find the lost. Like the woman, he bends down to pick them up. And like the father, he runs out to embrace his returning son. While he was still, those great words, while he was still a long way off. Isn't that great? His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And, you know, it's so evocative. You can picture the scene. A father seeing perhaps his son's silhouette on the horizon. And what does he do? He drops everything. And he gathers up his robes and he sprints towards him and throws himself upon him that the son might feel the whole weight of his father's love about him. The son doesn't even get a chance to finish his prepared speech before he is swallowed up and engulfed in the love of his father. What a scene. While he was a long way off. You know, perhaps it is a mistake to identify the father here in the parable too closely with God the Father. Because it seems to me this parable is about Jesus. This man receives sinners and eats with them. He is the shepherd. He is the woman. He is the father. He is the one who goes out to find the lost. He is the one who stoops down to pick up the lost. And he is the one who welcomes and embraces returning prodigals, seeing them a long way off. He is the one who showers us with his kisses. There was never a man like this man who welcomes sinners and eats with them. It's a picture of what it means to be a sinner. It's a picture of the man who welcomes sinners. And also here, and quickly here, it's a picture of what happens when sinners are found. What is the result of the lost being found in each of the stories? You'll notice it runs right through. There's celebration and there's joy. Verses 6 and 7. When he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost." There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need not. Or the woman in verses 9 and 10, when she found it, she called together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, I found the coin that was lost." There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Or in verse 22, the father says to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it. Let us eat and celebrate." Why? Because this, my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. You see what Jesus is doing here? He's telling the religious leaders that they have completely misunderstood God. Jesus is saying, this is the way that God is. He is for sinners. He is seeking the lost. He is rescuing and salvaging broken human lives. That's why Jesus ate with the tax collectors and sinners. Because this is the way that God is. And when sinners repent, there is joy in heaven. Jesus is the great shepherd. Even more intent and joyful than the shepherd and the woman and the father in the parable. Jesus knew that he would have to die to bring the lost home. Hebrews 12:2, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." The joy he had in doing his Father's will, the joy he had in finding us, was so great that he was willing to endure the shame and the agony of Calvary's cross. Jesus is the shepherd who seeks, who finds and rejoices. Jesus is the woman who celebrates the return of the precious coin. Jesus is the Father who celebrates with a feast. Here is a God who embraces failures and dances with joy, who not only runs after sinners, but welcomes them and eats with them. And of course, the centerpiece of the final story is that feast, I think, isn't it? Father throws the feast. Music and dancing, the greatest delicacies, to mark the restoration of his son. When the younger son came home, he said, "We had to celebrate. There was no choice." And yet, of course, not everyone was happy with the celebration. Not everyone shared the joy of the son that had been found. For, of course, this man had two sons. The older son in the field, as he came and drew near to the house, verse 25, heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants. "What is this all about? Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fattened calf. He's received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. That's the picture, isn't it? The elder brother standing outside. He won't come in. He won't share in the joy. He prefers to stand apart at a distance, at arm's length. And the story, and indeed the parable, concludes in that this kind of open-ended way. We do not know his response. We're not actually told what he does. But what about your response? How do you respond to this man, Jesus? This man who welcomes and eats with sinners. Will you join the feast? Will you come to his table? Will you celebrate with him? Will you eat and will you drink? You know, maybe there is a sense in which, in Luke's gospel here, we are told the response of the elder brother. The response, really, of the scribes and the Pharisees. Because Luke's gospel doesn't finish here at the end of chapter 15. It goes on. And we do discover the response of the scribes and the Pharisees to the ministry of Jesus. There is a way to end this parable. It's to say that the elder brother came into the house and bludgeoned his father to death. Because that is what did happen. That's the death we celebrate at this table. A death so that sinners, lost sinners like us, could be brought home. Because it's through that death the lost are found and the dead are made alive again. Here is the table. Here is the feast. Don't stand outside. Come in. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts and our minds. Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ is on a rescue mission. We thank you that that rescue mission took him to the cross of Calvary, where his body was broken and his blood was shed. We thank you that he did that for the likes of us, that we might be found, that we might be restored, and that we might be brought to this great feast where we share bread and wine and remember the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, we thank you that Jesus, this man, welcomes sinners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.